Well, hey, welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. I'm Josh. I'm here with Luke and Adam. The gang is back together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Here we are. All right. Hey, we're excited. Today's the last day of July for us. As you listen, it's August, and, you know, it's school's back in session for Walton County and all kinds of stuff. So how are we feeling around this table, last day in July?
Feels like Thursday.
It doesn't feel like Thursday to me. No, I don't know. This week, I've not really been able to keep track of what day of the week it is.
Yeah.
I know that it's Thursday because we're recording a podcast. That's about it.
Well, you guys have CLC planning. You got school starting tomorrow. You got all kinds of things going on.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Lots of different things going on. Things starting. New seasons again. Rhythms are back. So I'm feeling good. I think our kids are ready for that rhythm. But, yeah, there's a lot.
Just now, when do your kids go back?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah. So you got a few more days.
Yeah. A few more days. So we're soaking it up. But excited for the rhythm.
Yeah.
It's needed. For sure.
Stretching as much as we can out of the summer.
But, you know, last night I told the kids, I was like, hey, this is going to be weird. Because you're going to go to bed while it's still light, but we got to start getting back into the school rhythm. Yeah. Like, you're not sleeping until 8 anymore. That's not happening. So
sleeping until 8, man.
I know. They're still young. Naya can go longer because she's that preteen. But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, Rosalie was up at, when was she up today? 6?
Okay.
Something like that?
The CEO. She's going to be a CEO. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I hate sleeping in.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Like even on Saturdays, which I usually am up early to get out the door for disc golf anyway, but on the Saturdays that doesn't happen, if it's like 8 o'clock and I'm still in bed,
oh gosh,
I'm like, yeah, what am I doing? Why am I still here? I've been wide awake for a while now.
Why am I still here?
Burning daylight, man.
Burning daylight. There's something I could be doing.
Yep.
Could have had the grass cut by then.
By 8 o'clock, man, that's like almost like,
yeah.
That's a full pot of coffee.
Chapters read, full pot of coffee in, you know, some disc golf media watched, whatever.
Hey, it's been so hot. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad.
How hot has it been?
I couldn't believe I said this, but yesterday I was like, man, it's only 88. It's not that bad. So Sunday's supposed to be cooler. So hopefully we enjoyed that. And here's a question just before we jump into anything else. What are you looking forward to in the next 2 days, 48 hours.
So 48 hours.
Friday and Saturday.
So only Friday and Saturday are the choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't
get
to Sunday.
Of course, we're looking forward to Sunday.
Right.
So Friday, Saturday, what are you looking forward to?
I actually, I think I've got, well, I do, as long as the weather holds out. I've got 2 tee times. I got one on Friday and Saturday.
Ooh.
Sweet.
So
nice.
Yeah, looking forward to that. How about you?
A lot of things. Right now, as we speak, the PDGA World Championships.
PDGA, that sounds like something you have to warn against at church camp.
If you were a loved one, was diagnosed with PDGA.
I mean, it's like telling middle school and high school students, hey, no PDGA. No PDGA. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
It's public display of
gratuitous affection. Gratuitous affection.
That's like level 2.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So, Professional Disc Golf Association.
It's like beyond interdigitating your fingers when you're holding hands.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Interdigitate. Have you ever called it that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Josh Quaddy is the first one I ever heard say that.
Premarital, heterosexual, interdigitation. Yeah. Avoid it.
Basically, don't hold hands before you're married is what Josh is saying for those of you who can't catch on.
No, I'm kidding about
And that's
about
probably
that,
okay. You could probably hold hands before you're married.
Correct. But it's a funny phrase to say to people and watch their face.
So the Professional Disc Golfers Association of America.
No. Just not of America. It's the PDGA. But it's World Championships in Finland right now. So we're going to see if our local boy from Lawrenceville, Georgia can go for the three-peat.
Okay.
Because he's back-to-back world champion right now. So
amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
So you're excited to watch that.
I'm excited to watch that as the media comes out. I am playing. Good. Yep. I'm playing at a really beautiful course up in Lula on Saturday morning.
Where?
Lula.
Where's that?
Just on the northeast side of Gainesville.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, nice. It's one of the I think it's the third best in Georgia.
Okay.
Based on ratings and top 50 in the world. So, going to be a good day of disc golf. I say.
Sounds great. As long as the weather holds up.
Yeah, we'll play no matter what.
That's right. I'm excited just for that last weekend with the kids before school, and I think we're going to a birthday party and other kind of things. So, yeah, stuff to look forward to for sure. All right. In the news, are we ready?
Oh,
we got a couple headlines here. So, in the news.
Whoa, what happened?
You couldn't get that one going?
Hey.
Last week, whenever I had Brady and Ellie on, and I hit those things.
Yeah.
Ellie was like, what is going on?
So funny.
Hey, they did fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good
one. Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun listen.
That was so cool. So, all right, Luke, which one are we going with?
I haven't read them yet, so.
Let's do number 2.
Cool. There we go.
All right. Why is this? There we go. Had a double click. Wasn't working. The headline says, cheese-loving daredevils hurl themselves down Cooper's Hill in, I don't know how to say that.
Gloucester,
Gloucester?
I think so.
For a famous race. So, competitors...
How famous is it really, though?
Well, I mean, it's in the UK,
it's famous enough to be talked about on Corinth in your car.
Famous for an island across,
yeah.
across the pond, I guess. So, it's an 8-pound wheel of cheese, and they throw it down a hill. And people hurl themselves. Let's see. Here
after
we go.
After the cheese?
After the cheese.
Like they're chasing the cheese.
So they're just rolling down a hill.
What we're watching here is people, it's a video, they're hurling themselves as fast as they can down this hill. There were injuries.
Wow. I was about to say.
I would assume. I think I just saw
shoulders just coming out of place all the time.
Yeah, because... It's a notoriously dangerous race, but it's tougher this year because the racetrack was harder because the it had not rained.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes.
So, would you rather run with the bulls or roll down a hill after a block of cheese?
I think...
That's a steep hill.
I think I'd rather do the cheese, and I just wouldn't take it seriously. I'd rather chase something than be chased by something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a steep hill.
It's a very steep hill. Oh, here's a guy in a Superman costume.
Oh, fun.
There's the winner, Tom Kopke from Munich.
Congratulations, Tom.
Yeah, so...
He's a long-time listener.
Avid listener.
Listener.
Here's an injured competitor. There's, like, medics there helping him. All right. It was crazy. This year was different, said the 23-year-old from Munich after retaining the title. He won last year.
Oh, he won last year. Yeah. Okay, back-to-back.
So, back-to-back. We got all kinds of... You know, maybe he can go play disc golf. This is a funny quote. He says, last year the hill was muddy and this year it was dry and dangerous and people got injured. Quote, I shut off my brain and went for it. Anyway.
Do you get to keep the wheel of cheese if you win?
It's 8 pounds of cheese.
All right, here it is.
That's a lot of cheese.
200 yards is the racetrack. Two football fields. And it says it's a 1-2 gradient hill in Brockworth. So I'm not sure what that means. I think it just means very steep.
Yeah. It is very steep.
So I'm guessing it goes twice as far down as it goes out. I'm guessing that's what 1-2 means.
Yeah.
So for every foot out, it goes 2 feet down. Maybe.
Yeah, that would make sense to me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't go chasing cheese.
Just stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
There you go. Boom.
Thank you. I picked it up. Go. What you were setting down, right? Okay. Man. All right.
Hope he cleans the dirt off that wheel of cheese.
Well, it was wrapped.
It was wrapped.
It was wrapped. It was wrapped.
What kind? Gouda? Are we talking Gouda?
It's the name, the Gloucester or whatever.
Town cheese.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's August. And with August, we started a brand new sermon series.
We did.
In the Ring. Learning to fight. Did I get it right? Fighting for a godly marriage. Something like that. It's something about fighting. We're in the ring. We're boxing. Right?
You know, we were filming.
We know fight is in the word.
Having a
marriage worth fighting.
Yeah. We were filming the online welcome video on Tuesday, and I, for the life of me, was trying to say the tagline, and I couldn't. Like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so
I was getting it, like, different. I was getting it wrong every time, but in slightly different ways. So I was like,
how to fight your marriage.
Yeah, and so I just said, we're starting a brand new series, In the Ring. It's about marriage.
Yeah. No, actually, so Les and Leslie Parrott have a book called The Good Fight, I think.
Do they?
And so if you don't know, Les and Leslie are
great
marriage, you know, Experts, gurus, saving your marriage before it starts is a book, and also pre-marriage counseling kind of stuff. Anyway, they have a book I think called The Good Fight, and really, you're fighting the right way for the right things,
right,
with your spouse, not at your spouse, like on the same team, not against. Mm-hmm. So
before we jump in, can we ask Adam what the correct answers are in his opinion of the dynamic duos that he pitted against each other?
Yes, I was going to go there, and I forgot to write them down. Yeah,
I'm curious.
So we started with these duos, and so Buzz and Woody, or Frodo and Sam.
So I think we got three of us here. We should all three give our answers. So for me, I actually think just from nostalgia, it's Buzz and Woody.
Okay,
Frodo and Sam.
I'm not saying they're a better duo, but it's a duo I like.
Yeah, I'm definitely going Frodo and Sam.
I mean, they saved the world.
Right.
I mean,
there's way more at stake.
There's a little bit more
with their relationship. So
they saved Middle Earth, I should say.
Plus, Sam won the game for Notre Dame. So
he did.
There we go.
He's a double.
Yeah,
he did, and he was in Goonies.
That's right. Jordan and Pippin, Brady and Gronk.
Oh, Jordan and Pippin, because I'm never going to say Brady.
All day long.
So I wrote down MJ and Scotty just because I don't want to say Brady and Gronk. But then I started to think about Brady and Gronk actually like each other.
Well, that is true.
And Scotty and Pippen, or I said Jordan the same thing. Jordan Scotty, and Pippen don't really. So I think I have to say
no. Brady as far as just like who was more successful, it's Jordan and Pippen. They were 6-0 in the finals. So
right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Batman and Robin, Maverick and Goose.
I'm going to go Maverick and Goose just because I want to.
Yeah. It's Batman.
But
and
it's
Robin.
Batman. It is. It's Batman and Robin by a lot. Yeah. But
PB and J or mac and cheese.
PB and J.
It's PB and J
all day long. Twice on Sunday.
Even though you don't like peanut butter.
So I like peanut butter and jelly, but peanut butter is not my favorite thing. Okay. It's kind of a weird thing. As the main hang up I have with peanut butter is I just don't like it in sweets, like chocolates and cookies and cakes and pies and
jelly. It tastes really good. Yeah,
sure.
Things they have.
I also am not the biggest fan of mac and cheese. I would prefer just like buttered noodles.
I am not a mac and I don't even want buttered noodles, but I'm not a mac and cheese guy.
Yeah.
I like mac and cheese.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's fine.
This last one I had a hard time deciding.
This is a tough one.
All right. Shrek and Donkey or Lightning McQueen and Mater?
So to the youngest in the group, how hard is this one?
It's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard because I spent way too long thinking about it. It's like I probably looked at this sermon document that you sent out for 10 minutes and probably 8 minutes of it was trying to decide between Shrek and Donkey and Lightning McQueen and Mater.
So what's the answer?
I haven't come up with it.
You haven't come up with the answer.
So I think I was following the narrative of each. And it's like, it's a similar story of friendship and relationship because you start at odds with each other and then you become, you know, like partners and teammates and all that sort of stuff. So I think that here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, and like, it's the same thing as like Lightning McQueen and Shrek share like some characteristics. Donkey and Mater are both kind of like the comedic relief, kind of the dumb, you know. So anyways, I think Donkey's the best character out of the four.
Okay.
But I'm going to say McQueen and Mater are the best duo.
Wow. I'd go Shrek and Donkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Lightning and Mater.
Ka-chow.
Ka-chow. Ka-chow. Yeah, I just go back to stakes. I mean, Shrek and Donkey, the stakes that they were, they're saving
Princess Fiona.
Yeah, and Happily Ever After and all those other kind of things. Yeah. So just higher stakes.
But there were some piston cups on the line.
Yeah.
I think our kids need to see they haven't seen Shrek, so we need to watch it.
There's a new one coming out.
Donkey.
Yeah. Okay, so the question was, what makes a great duo? And that led into a conversation on marriage, right? So is it trust? Is it teamwork? Is it shared goals? Covering each other's weaknesses? Even the best teams can fall apart. You know, Luke, you said Scotty and Jordan didn't like each other, right?
Lennon and McCarthy, man. Right? From the Beatles.
Yep. McCarthy? McCartney.
McCartney. Yeah, not McCarthy. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
I'm only one cup in today.
To tell you the truth, what are the other Beatles? So John Lennon, Paul McCartney,
Come on now.
What's the?
I don't have any idea.
The drummer. What's his name?
Ringo Starr.
Yes, Ringo Starr. And I don't know the fourth.
George Harrison.
Okay, yeah. He's probably the one that everyone forgets most.
Maybe I don't know. I mean, it's Paul. I mean, it's Paul, John, George, and Ringo would be just kind of the way you would.
Okay.
You would phrase it. Yeah. So.
The Gospels.
The Gospels of rock and roll.
Oh, anyway, so it led us into a discussion of marriage, and we're going to be there for 4 weeks. And I think it goes, it's worth saying again, you said it in the message, just a brief little pause, like, hey, note to singles, students, and people who are maybe single again, or, I mean, all of it, like, don't tune out, because this better marriages make better societies. And we need to be the type of people that would be a good spouse, whether we are or not, whether we want to be or not. We need to be the type of person that does fight for, like today, for unity, to be that type of person. So tune in. Thank you for being here. And yeah, don't tune out for these 4 weeks.
Yeah,
for sure. So good stuff. And it's going to make us all better. And you said water is purest at its source. And so we went all the way back to the very first book and the second chapter of the whole Bible, because that's where kind of marriage is talked about for the first time, and not just a marriage passage, but a relationship passage. But Luke, do you have that in front of you?
Yeah.
All right. So read as much of Genesis 2:18-24 as you want.
I'll do it all.
It's not long. So
then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. So I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all of the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman, because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one.
Amen. All right. Let's talk about the text for a little bit. Just as you read, Adam, as you studied, what are some things that jumped out? I loved some of the funny observations you pointed out too. You know, like, this is not Adam saying, "Oh, she's got a wonderful personality." It's like, whoa, the old joke, like, whoa, man. Like, that's, you know,
or the one that's like, what was Adam's first words when he saw Eve?
Right.
Ouch.
The palindrome joke, you know, same frontwards and backwards. What did he say to her? Madam, I'm Adam.
Madam, I'm Adam.
The same frontwards and backwards. Yeah. Anyway, what observations here? One of them, of course, you said this isn't just for marriage, it's relationships. Right. But what else? What else jumps out from the text, observations, Luke, Adam, both of you?
Yeah, I think, verses, at least for the purpose of this, you know, verses 18 through 23 is just kind of like run up. It's a runway to get us to where we need to be, because verse 24 is the water purest at the source. I mean,
marriage.
This is why marriage is what it is. You know, it's a man leaving his father and mother to be joined to his wife, a woman, and so this is what marriage is. And so, even though maybe our culture wants to distort, and that's a harsh word, but I think it might be.
Think it's wrong.
I think it's an appropriate word.
You
know,
it's right.
I would say
maybe it's not strong enough.
I would
say our culture doesn't just distort, but I mean, we literally have written it into our law books, it's different now.
Yes.
This, like, we can be married in this country.
Yes.
Not like this.
Correct.
So it's not just distorted, it's actually changed.
Correct.
Because we've given God's authority over to,
yes,
you know, government and things like that. So.
And so while all this, you know, I didn't want to just start off with just like verse 24, you know, and
right.
wanted to give a little bit of runway just so we would all remember the context, or maybe even for the first time hear the context mm-hmm. of it. But at the very beginning, you know, this idea that marriage is something that we created and it's just this social construct. It's like, well, actually, no.
Yeah.
This was foundational to God's creation of the world, the universe. And so verse 24 is where it is. This explains why, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that is the editorial comment of God via Moses. Or is that the right way to say it? Editorial comment of Moses via God? What's the right way to phrase that?
we get what
but you guys understand what I'm trying
don't
to
hurt
say.
Yourself.
Yeah, my brain is just going to fall out of my ears right now. But explaining this is the purpose of marriage. Yeah. So it is the blueprint.
Oh, this is what Jesus quotes, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
As well. So
Paul quotes it.
Yeah.
In Ephesians 5. Can't remember if he quotes in Colossians 3 as well or not, but I know he does in Ephesians 5. Mm-hmm. And Jesus quotes this for sure.
Yep.
This is what it's about.
Yeah, and remind us again, for some church people, you know, the idea of covenant versus contract might mm-hmm. be old hat, but I think it's worth noting again, why is it so important that we remember marriage as a covenant and not a contract?
Yeah, so the big difference that I think if you were to just try to summarize it into the two, it's like, you know, a contract is based on mutual distrust, mm-hmm. but a covenant isn't rooted in distrust, it's rooted in devotion. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing, it was never intended to be temporary, mm-hmm. It was always intended to be permanent, it was never to be about protecting myself, but about giving of myself.
Yep.
And so we enter into this relationship to where we are both giving to each other. And so, you know, I think that the way that we approach marriage nowadays is more contractual. Mm-hmm. In fact, I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard it. You've probably heard it as well. It's like, what's the big deal? It's just a piece of paper. You know, why do we need that piece of paper to live together, to sleep together, to mm-hmm. do the married people things? And it's like, well, that's because you're misunderstanding what marriage is fundamentally. And so I know in a lot of conversations I end up having with couples, maybe you do as well, Josh and Luke, if you haven't, you will. But whenever talking about this stuff, I always have a little bit of a line that's like, listen, you came to me.
Yeah.
And I'm a pastor.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
You could have gone to a justice of the peace
yep.
and just done whatever you wanted, you know, but since you came right. to me as a pastor, I'm going to tell you about what this covenant looks like, about God's design for this and why some of these things matter so
right.
much. And so that generally, I think, resonates with
yeah, people. That was one of the questions here in the rundown, just in those pre-marriage counseling, what are some themes that kind of rise to the top? That's one of them. What are some other kind of go-to lines or just big takeaways as we're sitting down with couples? What jumps out?
I hope you're thinking about that too, because I've been thinking about this for a little bit.
Yeah,
and,
I am.
And Luke, have you done any premarital counseling yet?
No. I've had conversations
officially,
with non-married couple or young non-married couples, but no
right.
official counseling.
Okay. So it is one of the most, how do I say this politely? One of the most energizing, draining things you'll do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like, it's long. I mean, you're sitting there for, we generally do about 3 sessions of 2 hours each, mm-hmm. and that's a long time.
6 hour commitment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a 6 hour. So it's a big commitment, on all of our parts. Mm-hmm. And so, it's very, very draining, but it's also energizing. And sometimes it's just a flat out drain depending on the couple, but, but it's also very energizing because you're like, trying to help this couple get set up right, you know, as right. they just kind of walk into it. And so a few of the things that I have observed over, good grief, a long time now, is most couples think that, that's probably not the right frame. Probably one of the biggest things is communication, which is why we're going to spend a week.
Right.
That's my number one.
Yeah.
The number one most consistent feedback I get is the communication portion was what helped us the most.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Learning how to communicate. And you said it later in this message, but saying things like thank you and right. even having hard conversations. So anyway, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. I think communication is one of those big things. It's lifeblood of that. One of the things I find interesting too is, so Josh and I, we both use Symbis that we've referenced earlier, and it has a part of the dynamics, which is personality stuff. It has a section on gender and yeah. just the difference between male and female yeah. and needs. And it's stereotypical, but the reason the stereotype is there is mostly
true.
It's yeah. mostly true.
It's a good description of what to expect.
Yes. Yeah. And I find that that's one of the biggest aha moments as well. In fact, I was working with a couple recently and they were like, we just don't communicate well. We don't communicate well. And I'm listening to them and I actually jumped ahead in the material.
Yeah, sure.
Because I was like, hold on here.
Uh-huh.
I don't think what you're actually dealing with here is a communication issue. You have a misunderstanding of what each other needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. there's an old book called His Needs, Her Needs.
Needs.
You know, yep. And the other one, Men Are From Venus, or is it?
Men are from Mars.
Men are from Mars, women are from yeah. Venus. But just this idea that there is that whenever it comes to our male and femaleness, which God blessed us with, there are things that are just different about our genders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just physiological stuff. It's actually emotional and how we connect. And so, because like I was just listening to this couple and it was just like, I don't feel this. I don't feel this. I don't feel this. I miss this. I miss this. And it's like, okay, hold on here. You know, and so it's just able to share. Hey,
right. yeah.
Men connect through being side by side, through doing things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's recreational
activity. Shared activity.
Shared activity. You know, that's the thing that helps them connect. And so I was like, and women, they connect through just feeling cherished.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we had there was a failure to cherish and a failure to recreate together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh. Okay,
yeah,
that makes a lot more sense.
Well, and I think something helpful here too in the material, but also just for anybody listening, if you've been married any length of time, an easy thing to fall into is like early on in the relationship, it was easy to pursue her and cherish her, and it was easy for the lady to mm-hmm. do things side by side with the guy because they just wanted to be together.
Correct.
But then it's easy to fall into, well, they're mine now, and you stop doing those things that actually got you in love in the first place. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and the way I kind of explain it to the guys is like, you know, whenever you're dating, you're like in full-on woo mode.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're trying to woo, and then once you get married, what a lot of guys do is they just kind of turn off woo because they want to shift to protect and provide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which are not bad things. You right. should be looking to protect and to provide.
Yep.
But you've got to remember that what she needs is still the woo, the cherish.
Right.
And so it's like, don't stop protecting, don't stop providing, but make sure that you are ratcheting up the cherishing.
I stole your line, I think, about the CWO,
yep.
Chief Wooing Officer.
Yep. I yeah. tell every guy, it's like, uh-huh. you don't know it or not, but once you get married, you just got a promotion. It is a C-level position, and you are now the CWO. You are the Chief mm-hmm. Wooing Officer
yep.
in this relationship.
Yep.
And but you're right as well. With the women, it's the same thing. Like I always tell them whenever Jen and I were dating, this was back in 97, 98, 99.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever WWF and WCW Monday Night Wars were just going yep. crazy,
yep.
Jennifer would come over the house to watch WCW Nitro and Monday Night Raw. not because she loved wrestling, mm-hmm. but because she loved me,
right,
and wanted to spend time with me.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I remember when Sasha and I were dating, she knew that I liked being outdoors and just hiking through the woods and things like that. And so, if you don't know this about her, she she doesn't prefer that. She also doesn't prefer shoes. So I still remember, it was so funny. We did this hike dating, you know, out in Fort Yargo, I think is where we were. And we got back in the car after walking for several miles or whatever it was. And she took off her shoes and she goes, "Be free, feet, be free." Oh, like she's talking to her feet. And she doesn't listen. So anyway, I love her and I love that. But I knew it was a sacrifice because she just wanted to be with me.
Right.
And that was so powerful and important. So
yeah.
I think I'll say one more thing and then we'll move on, just because we're on the theme of what we say to couples and things.
Mm-hmm.
You already mentioned this, how the covenant is, the contract says, what can I get?
Correct.
How can I be protected? How can I get my needs met?
Yeah.
Right. Whatever those needs are, physical, emotional, any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the most common lines I go back to is marriage is not what can I get, it's what can I give.
Correct. Right.
So physically, relationally, emotionally, it's when you frame it up of what can I give,
right?
That's when you're really going to
correct
hit the ground running and you'll eventually get what you want.
Yeah.
But it's not by seeking to get. It's always by seeking to give.
Well, right. And I think this is a somewhat controversial statement, but even in a marriage to where only one partner is truly pursuing covenant, I think this is the point of, gosh, is it 1 Peter? I am convinced that there is a pathway for the spouse who is trying to create a covenantal marriage, and it's through continuing to serve and to sacrifice and to do those things, and that it can be something that will win over.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, all of this is a picture of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and like the language of covenant is applicable to marriage, but it's also what God makes with his people. It's what God offers to his people. So, and for the relationship between God and his people, there is one who is holding up the covenant, and there's the other one, us, who do not. Uh-huh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And God is still so faithful. A covenant is literally to give of himself. And isn't that what he does? Like,
mm-hmm.
I give of myself. I die to myself. Ephesians chapter 5, same language.
Yep, yep.
Husbands, die to yourselves. Mm-hmm. Serve your wife as Christ served the church. And so, that's what it comes down to for as a covenant. It's like, I'm going to die to myself and I'm just going to look to serve and give. And it isn't my way or the highway. It's their way or the highway, you know, mm-hmm. like that's the way it goes.
Yep. Yeah. Marriage is not your way or my way. It's our way always.
Right.
It's a new way. It's one, literally one flesh. So,
right.
I want to ask one question before we get into some application stuff here. And I guess it is maybe some application too, but just part of the talking through Genesis 2 and explaining what marriage is, you said unity is about being in each other's corner.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. What gets couples out of the same corner? What are some common hiccups, hurdles, you know, setbacks, all that?
Yeah. Well, I think you can go to the low hanging fruit, and you can say it's going to be communication related. Because whenever there's no communication, it's really hard to know that you are in the same corner.
Well, and I would add this. I think there is never no communication.
Correct.
Because if there's no words, there's assumptions and stories that start to get told in your head.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're communicating. The question is whether or not you're doing
correct.
It well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say things like conflict, not handling conflict well. I think there are emotional, physical, intimacy issues that can cause that. You know, if you've got someone who is emotionally unavailable, physically unavailable, that can create it. I think it can sometimes become good things. Like one of the things that, and I mentioned it in here, like one of our early goals was understanding that once we started having kids, they were eventually going to move out and, mm-hmm. and become adults.
Right.
And what we didn't want was whenever our kids became adults and were out of our, quote, control, that we hadn't spent 18 to 20 years mm-hmm. just living through them. And so whenever it comes down to the point where it's now, it's just Jen and myself that we're going, mm-hmm. who the heck are you?
Right.
And so I think that good things like wanting to invest in your kids mm-hmm. and making sure that they have the resources they need so that they can hopefully surpass you and, you know, and all those things, I think there is a strong danger in living through that. And just absolutely living your life through your children. I think there's financial issues. I mean, the answers are probably unsurprising.
Yeah. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
He will use anything he can.
Yeah, to get you off of the same page. Yeah. And, you know, I think for a lot of us or for a lot of our couples, it is probably the most common temptation is something that is probably a good thing that Satan just kind of distorts and it becomes an ultimate thing for you. Like wanting your child to succeed is a great thing.
Yeah.
You should want that. You should probably want that.
Well, and so what I try to do sometimes talking to people, and by the way, I don't consider myself some marriage expert either. Like we're all in the school of learning how to be better husbands always. But I try to flip the script a little bit like, yeah, I want to be a good dad too.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest gift I can give my kids
100%
is like a wife and a husband that are madly in love with each other mm-hmm. and kids that see what pursuing and cherishing looks like.
Yes. Right?
They need to see it's important enough for mom and dad to go out on a date.
Yep.
So I'm stuck at home,
uh-huh.
you know, with a babysitter or whatever it is, or they get old and they just stay home by themselves. Like,
yeah.
So they got to see that.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Okay, so we want to not just talk about it. We want to do this. We want to be good husbands, good wives. And you gave us 3 points of how we need to apply this to stay in the same corner. We'll talk through each one, but just all three at the first. Habits that connect you, vision that aligns you, and...
There's really only two.
Oh, two. I'm sorry. You had three under the
first. But I snuck in three under the habits one.
There you go.
Yes. We have a five-pointer.
A five-point outline.
I got a five-point, guys.
Yeah, so the habits that connect you. Galatians 6:9, one of my favorite verses, mm-hmm. just let us not grow weary in doing good. Mm-hmm. For at the right time, you will reap a harvest.
Right.
Some translations of righteousness
mm-hmm.
If we do not give up. So
right.
three habits. You said pray together,
mm-hmm.
Date weekly and escape yearly, and then mm-hmm. say thank you, not just I love you. So Each one in turn, how can we be better prayers, and why is it so important but difficult for us to do?
Yeah, so I think this is one of those things that praying together is going to build, obviously, spiritual intimacy, but also relational intimacy,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think all three of us in our youth minister days.
Don't tell students not to pray with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until you're married.
Yeah.
Married.
Yeah. If you're a dating couple, do not spend time alone praying together. Mm-hmm. If you want to pray over a meal, awesome. Yeah. Do that. Right.
Right.
You know, but do not sneak off to the side and say, we're just going to go pray together. Because it's.
Well, okay. Well,
soapbox. Here we go.
First of all, anytime someone says we're going to go sneak off and pray together, there isn't going to be any praying actually happening. At that point, New Beginning is not a prayer garden.
Laying on of hands.
But no, I would just, you know, one of the things that sometimes, you know, and the heart is in the right place for,
sure.
for our high school students. It's like, man, I know that it's important to have, you know, a partner that helps me
Absolutely.
Look more like Jesus and grow in my faith. And so they think
even in a dating relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's the, well, in order to do that,
mm-hmm.
we need to like do devotionals together and pray together. And I'm like, hold on, let's pump the brakes here.
Yep.
Right. Because the more that you engaged with each other spiritually, the more that you're going to grow emotionally, and the more that there's going to be a temptation to want to be physical together.
Years ago, back in youth ministry days, I don't know if this illustration worked, but I literally got a rope and tied like two signs to it. And one was physical intimacy and the other was like spiritual intimacy or emotional intimacy.
Right.
And just said, I don't really care which one goes first, but the other one's going to follow. And it might take a month. It might take 6 months. But if you go down that path of emotional intimacy, it's not going to be long before the physical stuff. And then you end up making regrets that you're, you know, making decisions you regret, all the stuff.
No, and so
if you're married,
that's what you
should
want.
Like, that's
that is what you want.
100%.
And so, even if it is awkward, I mean, you know, all three of us, we've met guys, and specifically men. I'd speak specifically to men who are just like, I feel weird praying out loud. I don't know how to do that, and you know, I just know that I'll pray in my head,
right?
And it's like, that's great, and I'm not trying to discourage anybody in any way, but part of it is like, no, there's something that about you taking the lead and being the spiritual leader of your household and pray. It doesn't have to be a prayer that's, you know, makes the Pope cry or anything like that, but it can just be a sentence or two. But just doing that is just vital. Vital to your marriage.
I think one of the things I'll say, and there's some potential for this to come across as some of the Luke harshness, so back me down if it needs to be, but what I have seen and what I have found both in seasons of my own life and in doing ministry, whenever someone feels very uncomfortable praying out loud, that is usually, caveat word usually, revealing of a prayer life that doesn't exist, period. Whenever someone is hesitant to be comfortable in prayer around people, it usually reveals someone who doesn't really have a prayer rhythm at all on their own. And so one of the things that I would just encourage the guys, the gals that are listening is remember that, yes, you pursue each other, but before you pursue each other, you have to pursue God first. And there needs to be still a relationship that you pursue with God and from that with each other. So I find the more connected to God I am on my own, the more comfortable I am sharing spiritual things and moments with my wife. And that pays in dividends as far as the health of our relationship through different seasons. So, that's what, like whenever someone's like, man, I don't really feel comfortable. I was like, well, let's start talking about just your overall prayer rhythm and life. How much are we doing that on a regular basis? And we got to start there too. So,
yeah. And I love Adam, you've done this before, but just once again, just if this is the first step that especially our guys need to take, here's some easy first steps. Just, God, thank you for my wife.
Yep.
Help me to love her like you love the church. Amen.
Yeah.
Like that is something, and you can celebrate your success. And then when the time is right, keep taking one step at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Something like that. Anyway.
Yeah. I think it's a Gary Thomas in Sacred Marriage. He's the one that introduces the idea of the triangle, which I use in premarital counseling as well. And if God is at the top and, you know, me and you are at the bottom, as we grow closer to God, we will grow closer together.
Yeah, inevitably.
Well. Inevitably, that's just going to happen. And so just developing that spiritual momentum, that spiritual intimacy is huge.
Yeah. So pray together. Do it. Date weekly and escape yearly. So I think we know what that means. Escape yearly, go together without kids.
Without kids. Yeah.
Hey, pretty easy for me right now.
Yeah. Here's the question I wrote. Any caveats, tweaks, pro tips, or budget-friendly alternatives? And Adam, you wrote something in there, 777. Tell us what that means.
Yeah, so I think the pro tips would be that this does not have to be fancy. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, figure something out. But I would also throw, too, it's important enough to invest in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we make investments financially all the time, and we make everything. I mean, we make financial decisions all the time about what's important to us. And so this is, to go from preaching to meddling, this getting away at least yearly with just you and your wife for just a couple of days, mm-hmm. You and your spouse, is just as valuable as the travel ball, as the club volleyball, as the club soccer, as the piano lessons, as the, what else can we go with? Ballet.
The new gun.
The new gun.
The car.
The tutoring.
Disney Dream Trip.
Uh-huh. Well, the Disney Dream Trip could be together. And so.
25-year anniversary. 25-year anniversary. Just happened.
Yeah. But the point being that it doesn't have to be fancy, but also make a plan for it and, you know, set aside for it. The other thing is, like, for, like, you know, dating weekly, if, like, think money is tight, then if you've got a couple of friends in your small group that have kids as well, mm-hmm. then we're bartering. Hey, we'll watch your kids this Friday if you'll watch our kids on Saturday so that you can go out and then we can go out yep. on Saturday.
Yep.
You know, we're not charging each other anything. This is just a, hey, this is going to allow you to be able to get out.
Yeah, we've done that with our neighbors a lot. So
yeah, I mean, that's a thing. Another pro tip is that there are some really, really high quality high school babysitting girls that do great jobs and don't stiff them. But
yeah,
but I mean, you've got those kind of things. The 777 actually comes from Kevin Lehman, and I almost threw this in there, but I didn't want
podcast exclusive.
Yeah, I didn't want to overwhelm people, but his 777 rhythm is. A date night every 7 days, an overnight every 7 weeks, and a week getaway every 7 months.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
And,
nice.
And so,
yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a week on the seven, but it's a multiple night.
Right. More than one night.
More yeah. than one night excursion.
And once again, pro tip, because we've done this before too, like the overnight for the one night, it might not mean that you go away. It might mean that you send your kids away.
Yeah.
And right. you come home and bake a pizza in your own oven.
DiGiorno.
And watch a movie, right?
Right. Yes. No, and that's a great way to phrase that as well. It's just like, yeah. it is just trying, it is making sure you have intentional time alone together.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do like about the 777 thing is it's an easy rhythm to remember, but you know, you're kind of building on top of things there, because sometimes that date night on every week, you guys are just tired because it's been a rough week with kids mm-hmm. or work and those things. Right. And so it might just kind of be a little bit of a, we want to give each other our best, but there's not a lot of energy. Yeah. But you've got that 7 weeks to where it's like, okay, but we're going to have that overnight thing coming, you know, in just a few mm-hmm. weeks. And then the 7 months thing, it's like, hey, we're going to have a few days away to where we're going to be able to retreat. And so it's a good idea, but at the very least, date night once a week and yeah. every year, get away just you and your spouse mm-hmm. for a couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
It'll pay dividends.
One of the pro tips I would grab out there, because I know that a lot of married couples, whenever they do get the chance to send the kids away, it's a great opportunity to talk shop. I would encourage whenever you've got the kids away and it's date night, enjoy fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's not time to break out the tax statements. That's not time to yeah. talk through the budget. That's not time to do anything like that. Just enjoy. And if you need to talk through, and you should talk through all of those other things.
Yeah.
Then schedule a different time and sit down around the dinner table, and the kids can be, watching the TV while you're talking through that stuff. You don't have to keep date night sacred, and enjoy each other.
Yes, agreed. Okay, third was say thank you, not just I love you. So, Adam, give us some quick hits on what this means.
Yeah, I think hopefully this one is self-explanatory, but it is just. Whenever we are communicating with our spouses, it is gratitude. And because those little words go just a long, long way. And through expressing gratitude, if we're talking about being in the same corner, it's just reinforcing, hey, we're in this together. We're in this together. And you are, the way I described it is like you're making deposits into your marriage's emotional bank account. Yeah. And so we want that bank account to never be in the red. We want it to always be in the black. And gratitude's going to go a long way.
Well, here's how I think through it. Mm-hmm. Gratitude and saying thank you means you had to pay attention to me.
That's good.
And, you know, the old joke about, I told you I loved you when I married you. You know, like there is some of that that's easy that's easy to sneak into, right? Because like, well, of course I love you. But if you say thank you, whether it's in words or in writing or text message or any of it, it means that your eyes were on me and I have your attention. And that means a lot, whether you're a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know, I was noticed, that I was funny, that I was strong, that I was pretty, that I was helpful, whatever it is.
Yep.
So. I'll throw a personal one out here because Tristan is really, really good at this. So just the other day, so Tristan had some meds to pick up at Kroger, the pharmacy, and I think she had said something about it every day for like 5 days. Like, oh, I need to remember to go do this. Oh, I need to go remember to do this. I got three left in the bottle. I need to remember to go do this. And so she kept saying it. And then we're trying to wind down, what was it? Tuesday night. And she's like, it's like 10 o'clock. Oh no, I never went and got this. And, I'm out and I have to have this tomorrow or I'm going to have a bad day and all that sort of stuff. And, she had a patient at 8 o'clock and she has to take that pill in the morning. And, you know, Luke, is there any possibility that like you can make that happen? And the initial thing is like, in my mind, I'm starting to go, well, now I have to figure out what it looks like to rearrange what my plan was for the morning. And then it's like, well, you've been saying something every day for the last like 5 days about this. Why didn't you just go do it? And so it's like, those are the initial thoughts, but then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to give up myself. I'm going to die to myself. I'll rearrange. I'll go get this. And, ended up doing it and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, later that day just got a text message from Tristan that was kind and, hey, I saw you rearrange and, go out of your way to do that. And I'm really, really grateful. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that means a lot.
That meant a lot, to me. To
a 10 second text.
Right. Just
a whole lot.
It really did mean a lot to me just to, because what that means is I didn't just do that without her noticing. But she was paying attention to what I was doing for her. So, and I need to do a lot more of that for sure.
So, we could talk all day long about habits that connect you, you know, I mean, praying and dating and saying thank you are only three of them. I mean, there's a million more.
Yeah.
There's a million more you can do, but the point is just get your eyes off yourself and think about what does the other person need and what does the other person want and how can you meet those needs.
So, one of the habits for me and my wife is I have to brush my teeth after I eat pico de gallo. She hates the smell of red onions.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
There's one.
Yep. And be quick to pop popcorn if there's a movie.
Quick to pop popcorn.
My wife loves
that. Slow to speak, slow to become angry.
That's right. All right. Point number two was vision that aligns you. Amos 3:3 says, can two people walk together without agreeing on that direction? Answer is no.
Right.
Because if you don't agree, then you don't go. And so, yeah, here's the question that popped into my mind. What if you've been married for 10, 20, 30 years and you never really had that? How can you get that vision talk?
Yeah, I think that one is I would suggest that there is a vision whether you've named it or not.
Correct.
Sure. Kind of like the communication, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah.
There is always a direction that you are headed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been married 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years even, and you've just never even had it, you've been out on a direction and moving in this and moving. Now, has it been in the same direction?
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. But I think that when's the best time to plant a tree is 25 years ago, and the second best time is today.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether you've ever had the conversation or not, it's probably it's good to just say, go ahead and do it now. And for me, it's just kind of this idea of, where do we want to be? Where do we want to be whenever we are, 90 years old, sitting in rocking chairs, watching Matlock or whatever it is that we're watching at that point, and popping Werther's Originals and just enjoying life. Where do we want to be, and how are we going to get there? Because that's all vision is. It's not this complicated idea. It's just, what's the preferred future that we have? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just the conversation. And so it is a time to just be able to sit and to dream and to say, where do we hope to be?
Yeah.
You know, there are couples that I do counseling with that are like, they're 22 years old. And I tell them, I was like, listen, you've most likely got 60, maybe 70 years together ahead. Mm-hmm. And so where do we want to be? How are we going to get there? And that's the vision discussion. And so, you know, you're asking, it's like, you know, what's the template that we can use? And I think that's just the template. It's, where do we want to be whenever things are done, whenever it comes to the relationship we have with each other? I mean, there's a financial vision. There is a spiritual vision. There is a legacy vision.
Correct.
There is a raising kids and grandkids, grandkids vision. You know, there's all these kind of things. Like, where do we want to be in terms of our service to the church? You know, there are all kinds of things that are out there. And it's just being able to articulate those things is just so, I think, important. And just being able to nail that down. So I think that's how you just kind of got to just jump into it.
Yeah, I think the advice would just be, even if you have to self-deprecate a little bit, like, hey, I haven't ever had this conversation, and I need your help, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, let's jump in. And
what are our dreams? Mm-hmm. And just being able to think through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That alignment, and here's the thing, you've got to continue to talk about it.
I was going to add that too, yeah.
Because the old line, you know, vision leaks, mm-hmm. and it's because it does. Just because you stayed out, you know, whenever you're 25 years old of, hey, here's the vision for our marriage, that is going to leak over time. And it's just like, you got to continue to remind each other, hey, here's what we're trying to do.
Well, let me tell my parents a little bit. I'll just give an example. My mom was in a family of 5 kids, and she kind of had a vision for more kids.
Okay.
And after 2, she realized 2 is where we need to be.
Okay.
And
because
so
of Megan?
Yeah, right. No, because my dad. Lots of good things about my dad. He's amazing. But he's driven and focused, and she realized,
right,
it would not be good to add 3, 4, 5, because what he could then give to those people, not financial, but like attention, mm-hmm. direction, mentoring, all of it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't going to be fair. He'd be spread too thin. And right. And that's just, it takes a lot of humility.
Right.
If that's an observation made about you, to say, well, you know, that's true. I need to stop at 2 or whatever it is. And so that's just props to my parents for doing that, for sharing that and being vulnerable as well.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, you can just realign as the years go on, whether it's kids or money or houses or church or all of it. So,
yep.
All right. We've been talking for a while. So
yes.
Anything else for the good of the cause before we, wrap up for today?
I think
marriage is cool.
Marriage is cool.
So much fun.
And I think I would end with the same encouragement that I ended with in the message. And that is, if you're in the same corner cheering each other on, then great job. Praise God. Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. Keep fighting the good fight. If you're not, if you find yourself more in opposite corners, right now, and then in the same corner, that the step, it only takes one step to start moving towards being in the same corner. Mm-hmm. And so if you both take that step, you'll end up in the center of the ring, but don't let that metaphor distract you.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If you continue to step towards each other and towards what God wants for you, before you know it, you will be in the same corner, and there is hope for that. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, marriage is a beautiful picture. It's described as, you know, Christ in the church. And so I pray this over couples all the time, that they their marriage would make people know who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
All right. We talked about unity today.
We did.
And so we're going to end with a game called Sync. Like, are you in sync or do you stink? Like, do you not know about each other? So I'm going to give you all, I'm going to give you three choices.
So Adam and I are basically playing the newlywed game.
Well, essentially you're trying to say the same answer on okay. which of the three choices is the best.
Okay.
I'm going to give you three choices and you're going to, on the count of three, try to be in sync here. So, yeah. All right. Which is the best option? College, football, NFL, or March Madness?
NFL.
Good. In sync. All right. Atlanta sports teams, Braves, Falcons, or United?
Braves.
All right. Golf, pickleball, or bowling?
Golf. Because he's thinking disc golf.
No, I didn't
think disc golf's not on the menu.
I didn't think disc golf.
Yeah. Okay.
Although pickleball is pretty fun, too.
This will be a fun one, I think.
I've yet to play pickleball.
It's nice.
It's fun.
There's a reason why.
You'd probably enjoy it too much.
That's why I haven't played it.
Yeah.
Run a 5K, play pickup basketball, or take a nap?
Ooh, take a nap.
Play pickup basketball.
Okay. All right. Not quite in sync on that one. All right. The Masters, Daytona 500, or Summer Olympics?
Masters.
There you go.
Yeah.
By a lot.
Yeah.
Reese's, Snickers, or Sour Patch Kids?
Snickers.
Yeah.
Skittles, M&M's, or Starburst?
M&M's.
Skittles.
Popcorn, nachos, or candy?
Popcorn. Yeah.
Beach, mountains, or big city?
Mountains.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A, Taco Bell, or Waffle House?
Chick-fil-A.
That's easy. Yeah, okay. All right, let's do two more. Coffee, energy drink, or sweet tea?
Coffee.
Easy. All right. Music. All right. Country, hip-hop, or 90s throwback?
90s throwback.
There we go. All right.
Come on now.
So we got NSYNC on
Give
most
me a little
of those.
Matchbox 20 or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Bye, bye, bye.
We got most of those, NSYNC. Hey.
Adam, we have so much in common.
We do. We do.
All right. Hey, thanks for being with us. And next week, we hope to be with you again in podcast form or, you know, at church, obviously. Hope you'll be here. School is in session, so be here. It's going to be awesome. In the Ring Part 2. Until then, we love you. We like you. Have a great, great week.